Good morning. I'd like to welcome our visitors that we have with us. We're very glad to have you. Nice to see so many of our members that have been gone that are back with us. It's so good to see you. For those of you that have been gone, we've got a new brother, Devin, in Christ. He was baptized last week at the beginning of service. We're going to finish last week's lesson today. Our lesson was, with authority comes responsibility. And, you know, a lot of people want to be in charge. A lot of people want to have the say-so. A lot of people want to be the boss. But as we talked last week, big difference. Big difference in being a boss and being a leader. The leader has to be the best example. Well, I want to own a business. Do people want to own a business, Daryl? You know, I started to say I've had the pleasure to work with Daryl. It's never been a pleasure. Not once. But one thing I have observed about working with Daryl, doesn't ask any of his employees to do anything that he doesn't do himself. A lot of people want to give orders, boss people around. That's different from being a leader. A lot of times the leader, they have to model the behavior. They have to teach the behavior they need. And the problem is, even though you're the leader, you will be held accountable. You will be held accountable. Last week, we looked at husbands, wives, and parents. We looked at just kind of the hierarchy that God had shown in the home. There is a lot of authority that parents have. But there is the burden of responsibility also. Amen. There is a lot of burden, a lot of authority that the man has as a husband. But with it comes a lot of responsibility. There's authority as a wife, mother, a lot of responsibility. The area I'd like to look at, one of the areas I'd like for us to look at today, is that of elders. God designed, and we have looked at the qualifications of elders numerous times before. We're not going to really get into today the qualifications, but if you remember from some of those sermons, the qualifications themselves equate with responsibility. Amen. You know, I started to say you can read through between the lines. You don't even really need to read between the lines to see the responsibility of being an elder of a congregation. And In my years of being a Christian, one of the biggest and most dangerous actions I've seen Christians make is cutting the corners in leadership, trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, trying to cut the corners and fast-track somebody just to fill a position. Unfortunately, we do not have elders here yet, but we keep praying that someday we will. And I am confident in God's timing, we will. As Paul said, you know, the thing he left Titus in Crete, to solve the problem of the things that that they are lacking. which was elders. Now, let's look at some of the authorities. Elders are not just bosses. Elders are not just somebody to sit up and make decisions. A lot of Christians want to be that. A lot of Christians want to have their say-so, but not do any of the work. And unfortunately, the way they go about it is sometimes the wrong way. But let's look at the responsibility that church elders have. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, the writer gives us the commands, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. That one verse is jam-packed with important information. Two things that we as people have a hard time with: obeying and being submissive. Especially us here in America. Don't tread on me. Give me liberty or give me death. You know, we tend to lean heavy on that. But the Hebrew writer is saying, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, because they're watching out for your souls. That is one of the responsibilities of an elder, is to be looking out spiritually for you. Not just, you know, not necessarily for your physical needs, not that they're uninterested in that, but like we saw in the book of Acts, the creation of deacons, so the apostles could focus on the spiritual things. Elders are focusing on the spiritual things. Peter, the apostle Peter, which was also an elder, understands this concept. And in 1 Peter, he writes, the elders who are among you, I exhort. He's giving them a pat on the back. I'm encouraging them. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. In that one verse, he is establishing he's got a little bit of credibility there. I'm the Apostle Peter. That's all he had to say. That's all he needed to say. He was an apostle. I'm also an elder. Not all of the apostles were elders. Peter was not only an apostle, he was an elder. And not only that, he was a witness of Christ. Not all elders in the first century even had met Christ. Peter did. Peter followed him, was mentored by Jesus himself. And not only that, is a partaker of the glory that will be revealed when Christ comes. And now comes the command: shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, not because you've got to, Not by compulsion, but willingly. That was one of the qualifications Paul wrote about. That you've got to be willing. You've got to desire the position. If you truly understand what an elder is and still desire it, that's good. A lot of people might want to be the boss, but then when you look into what you got to do, I don't know if that's for me. That's a good weeding out tool. Shepherd the flock, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Make sure the reasons you're doing what you're doing is proper. With the authority is going to come responsibility. It goes on to say in verse 3, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you. Don't lord it over. Don't be walking around with your thumb on people. Live up to it. Be a good elder. Be a good shepherd. That's he used that word, shepherd the flock. Lead them. You don't drive sheep. You lead them. I don't know who originally said it, but there's a quote, I will be led, but I will not be driven. I love that quote. I will follow. I'm a good follower, but I won't be driven by anybody. Nor is being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. The elders are the biggest examples of servants, or should be, in a congregation. Elders are in a position of authority, but as we can see, they have a lot of responsibility. And last, I want to look at the authority and the responsibilities of each of us as individuals. A lot of times we think, oh, I'm not in charge of anything. Yes, you are. We're each in charge of ourselves. I love that. I love that account where after Jesus had risen, it's at the end of John, and Jesus is telling Peter the style of death that he's going to face. And Peter says, talking about John, he goes, well, what about this guy? What about him? And he says, if he lives until I return, what's that to you? You follow me. We're each responsible for ourselves. We can't effectively be in authority of anything else unless we're in complete authority of ourselves. We have to, the biggest thing we have to conquer most of the time is ourselves. I know I'm my worst enemy. Most of the time. I've got to be in authority of myself. So let's look and close up with being responsible for ourselves. In Philippians 4:9, Paul got it. Paul lived it. My hat goes off to Paul. He was able to write to the Philippians and live up to it. He says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Don't just, it's not that thing, do as I say, but not as I do. Everything you've heard me teach, everything you've seen me live, everything you've heard me say, do them. He was bold enough to be able and confident enough to be able to tell other people to follow what he's done, because all he's done is live his life for Christ. And he says, and the God of peace will be with you. But all these things that you've seen, heard, received, do them. I've given you an example. In James 3, 1, James, the brother of Jesus, gives us an admonition. He says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. We're going to be judged by three different categories here as teachers. Now, first of all, this is not an out for those of you that don't want to be a teacher. A lot of people use this as an out. Well, James said don't have a lot of people as teachers. You don't have to take it so literally. We need teachers. What he's emphasizing is realize the responsibility that comes with teaching. We're going to receive a stricter judgment by God. Teachers better be teaching sound doctrine. God's going to hold you to, going to hold your feet to the fire for that one. Are you teaching sound doctrine or not? Others are going to hold your feet to the fire. Especially those, not only people in the church, but people out of the church. Have you ever heard, you're a Christian? The way you behave? The way you talk? The things I see you do after work? The jokes I hear you tell in the lunchroom? You're a Christian? You teach Bible study? Others are going to be holding us to a higher standard. And ourselves. A lot of, like we said, sometimes we are our biggest obstacle. A lot of times we can't get past ourselves. We remember things about us that people have forgiven and God have forgiven long ago. And we keep dragging that with us. In 2 Timothy, you guys should be close to memorizing this verse by now. You should be close to memorizing it. The men here at South Valley use this verse a lot. Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have a responsibility to get our nose in the Bible, because we're going to have to answer for that. I love the King James Version. It says, study to show yourself approved. I use New King James, and it says, be diligent. But King James really hammers home that idea. Be diligent to do what? Study the Word of God. Study to present yourself approved to God. So you're not ashamed and being able to rightly divide the Word of truth. That's a responsibility. We've got to be able to rule ourselves before we can be an authority of others. In 2 Corinthians, Paul told the Christians in Corinth, says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. This is the verse that Daryl read for us earlier in our worship. We're all going to have to appear before the judgment seat. Not too different of a verse that he had to tell the Romans in Romans 14, verse 12. And this is where we'll close. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. This is a whole lesson by itself. We have to give an account of ourselves. I'm not going to be called. I don't get to spill the beans on Frank on the day of judgment. I don't have to get up there and, God, while we're at it, I got a list here of Diane. I want to let you know. God knows. Diane's going to have to account for herself. Pete's going to have to account for himself. I'm going to have to account for myself. We don't have to account for each other. We've got to account for ourselves. And it comes right back full circle. With authority comes responsibility. We've got to be an authority of ourselves. Some of us someday. Some of us might be parents. Some of us might be spouses. There's responsibility there. There's authority and responsibility there. Some of us may someday be called upon to be an elder. But every one of us has to answer that call of answering for ourselves. We saw Devin answer for himself last week. Most of us here, I know, are baptized believers. We must hear the word of God. We must believe the word of God. We must confess that belief before men. We must repent of our sins. We must be baptized into Christ. Jesus said in Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. As simple as that. People want to try to argue around it. And then that gets us into Christ. And then we've got to remain faithful for the rest of our lives. In Matthew 10, 22, Jesus says, those that endure to the end will be saved. Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. If you need to respond by baptism, if you need to respond by repentance, if there's sin in your life and that you need to repent from, if you need prayers of the congregation, whatever your need, please come as Michael leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.